Ion? Morning. How's everybody feeling this morning? Good so far. That's what I always say. It's still a little early. We're mid-morning, so. I'm Josh Taylor. Thank you.
Try it now.
Try it now.
There you go.
Is it working?
Better? Is that good? Better back there?
Good?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, we'll start again. I'm Josh Taylor, and I am a returning resident, to Bags, Wyoming. My family, my wife Carla, my sons Lane and Ryan, 15 and 17, are in school up there, and they're getting used to it the first week, so because they're new to Bags. So I don't know how many of you know of all the nice people in Bags, but I really like Bags. So I graduated there in 98, and so it's a great place. Bags has a special spot in my heart. I think Bags is a little piece of paradise. Not everybody agrees with me, but I think it's a beautiful valley, even when it's dry. So, anyways, we have been called to Bags to plant a church or to start a church. God put it on my heart a little over a year ago. We were in Rapid City, South Dakota, and there's about five pastors said, "Where do you see yourself in 5 years?" And I said, "I don't know, Bags." And my wife went, "Bags?" And so anyways, long story short, we went to assessment in February. We were supposed to go in April. We went in February. And they decided that, so Converge Rocky Mountain decided we would be good candidates to be church planters. So a lot of other things happened and kind of put us on fast forward to Bags. God does amazing things, and how many of you know that we work at God's speed, not our own sometimes? So, here we are. The boys are starting school. And so this morning, something very near and dear to me is the parable of the lost sheep. Because that's what I'm looking for, are lost sheep. Those who are lost, who have either never heard of Jesus and his salvation, or those who have strayed from Jesus. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 15, and we're going to go through verses 1 through 7. So I'm driving bus in Bags now, and I told the little girls, I said, "I know I don't look that old, but I'm a grandpa. And so with grandpa, you need glasses." And the little girl said, "I know he doesn't look that old, but he does have gray hair." Sorry, guys. I have leaky eyes. So we're going to start. I read out of the NIV. We're going to start with chapter 15, verse 1. "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" So I want to talk a little bit about this part. How many of you, if Jesus walked in today, how many of you would say, "That's the Messiah," and know that it was Jesus? How many of you might say, well, that guy welcomes sinners and eats with them, knowing what we know, that Jesus, that's what he came for. But I think in the church today that we get a little judgmental. And we think that because we are at church and that we are saved, that maybe we are a little bit higher. I don't think so. I think if any of us think that we've got it all together and we don't have any issues, that might be our issue. Because I'm a sinner every day. Sometimes no matter how hard I try. And I have to ask for forgiveness every day. And I know that Jesus forgives me every day. But as we go out to look for the lost, we can't be that person that thinks we have it all together. We have to feel like we can go out and accept those people and look for those people because they're the same as we are. So starting in verse 3, then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. So if you're taking notes, number one, are you like the Pharisees and despise the lost? Or are you like Jesus and love the lost? I'll tell you what I want to be, and I want to be the one who loves the lost. Because Jesus loves them too. So to define the lost, the dictionary would say that is lost is unable to find one's way, not knowing one's whereabouts. That seems pretty accurate, don't you think? But a lost soul, the biblical definition would be someone who has strayed from the path of righteousness and lost their connection to God. Have any of you ever lost your way? Have any of you ever strayed? I have. And I'm so thankful that God always brings you back. But you have to be willing to come back. I'm so thankful that there are people out there who care about my walk with God. And that will keep me accountable and say, look, Josh, I think that what you're doing is a little off the path. You're getting out on the wide road. It's narrow. So the other thing I want to bring to your attention is, and we've kind of talked about this, is the being too proud to seek the lost where they are. I don't know what all of you think of where sinners hang out. The bar isn't a bad place, but what you do in the bar could be bad, right? You can get in trouble in the bar. But there are people in there who need Jesus. There are people in there who have Jesus and are seeking those who need Jesus, right? So, someone told me, you don't have to always bring up the bar. But I know that when I was in the bar, I didn't do great things. So that's why I bring up the bar. But we need to be, as disciples, able to go to the bar to find those people, or you can find sinners everywhere. Find them at Walmart. You can find them at the gas station. Anywhere you go, they're all around us. There's not in bags? I think you may be led astray on that. Because there's still sinners in bags. So we just need to humble ourselves, I think, and be able to seek those people, but not go at them and say, "You need God, because I see that you're sinning." That's not for me to decide. But I can help you to see that what you do, your actions, may not be the most Christian-like. So mostly this message today is to think about your life and how you would go to find the lost, because the lost need to be found. Number two, if you're taking notes, are you the lost one, or are you part of the 99? This congregation, if we were a band of sheep, would be the 99. And the lost would be that sheep that Jesus goes to look for. So Psalm 23, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I lack nothing." We all know that the Lord is our shepherd. And we act as that shepherd when we are seeking the lost. But this congregation would be the 99. And as followers of Jesus, we are like the flock of sheep, the 99. And Jesus is the good shepherd. John 10:11 says, "I am the good shepherd." Jesus is the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You know that Jesus came to this earth and died for your sins. He gave everything for us. Would you do the same for someone who was lost? It's a hard question. But how bad do you want that lost to know Jesus Christ and to be able to have that salvation and spend eternity in heaven? The lost in Isaiah 53:6 says, "We all are like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way." And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So we've pretty much decided that we have all gone astray at one point in our lives. And we need that good shepherd, to find us and bring us back. But what about the ones who have never heard about him? So I'm not only worried about the ones who know him and have accepted them into their heart and have gone astray, but those who have never ever heard of Jesus. And it's kind of hard to believe that there are people in the United States, in this area, who have never heard of Jesus Christ. Never. They believe in a higher power. Anybody tell me what that higher power's name is? Jesus Christ. So I want those people who have never heard to hear about him. Luke 19, verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." So he came to seek and save the lost, but he also asks that we seek the lost and bring them to the foot of the cross so that they can be saved. Number three, will you seek the lost or stay in the safety of the pasture? Will you be willing to seek those who don't know Him? Or will you be the ones that celebrate and rejoice when we, those who are seeking the lost, have found the lost and bring them into the family, into the, and rejoice with us? Either way is fine. You're both part of the seeking the lost. Maybe you're not the type that wants to go out and talk to the people and say, "Hey, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? You got Jesus?" Maybe you want to be the one that helps build them up once they get here. Maybe you want to be the one that encourages them. Either way, we are all the hands and feet of Jesus. So I have going out and seeking the lost, not only locally here in Craig, but beyond Craig, in the surrounding towns. Will you be that person? Or are you going to be the one that's here to build them up and help them begin their relationship with God? John 6, verse 39 says, "And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those He has given me, but raise them up in the last day, at the last day." I want to be the one He sent me to Bags. Last year, we were studying the Great Commission at a camp that Carla is the president of. And we studied the Great Commission, and the lady said the verse three times, and then she gave us like 3 minutes to just bow our heads and let the Holy Spirit speak to us. And God said, "Go." And when I tell you to go, you go. When I got home, 2 weeks later at 1:30 in the morning, He spoke to me. And He said, "Go, and I will teach you. Go, and I will lead you." He has done everything He said He would do. So I know I'm there for a reason. I'm there to reach the lost. And I need your help, because I can't do it alone. He asks us all to be fishers of men. Someone sought you once. And we're all here because of Jesus. So I want to be that person that shall lose none of all those He has given me. And I want to be able to say, "I did as You commanded me to do, Lord. These are My people." So the challenge for you, number four, will you pray for the lost person that comes to your mind? Do you have that one person that you've thought about, worried about, that may not have Jesus' salvation. So start with the prayer. Just start praying for that person. They don't have to know. But start praying for that person. And then the second part of that challenge is to start the conversation with that person. You go to that person and say, "Hey, I've been praying for you." How many of you think that they'll say, "Why? Why have you been praying for me?" And that's the start of the conversation. Do you know Jesus? So number five and my final point is, are you going to reflect the Good Shepherd's heart? I wrote about the Good Shepherd. And you can take this and you can think about this. Roll it around in your brain. So think of yourself, as most of you are, as parents of your children, and how you react when they are in need or are lost. Wouldn't you lay down your life for your children? Wouldn't you do anything for them to ensure their safety, health, and well-being? Jesus has done this for you when he laid his life down to protect yours. So he didn't have to. But he did it for you so that you didn't have to die for your own sins. He gave it all for you. And you, and you, and you. Because he loves you the most. He paid the ultimate price. And he rejoices when you choose to follow him. So let's be the best reflection of Jesus Christ every day, and the Good Shepherd, and seek the lost until we find them. Until we find them. Never give up. Never, ever give up. And bring them back to the foot of the cross. That's my mission. That's my goal. That's what I do from now on. To seek the lost. For the whole entire valley and abroad. That's how God made me. That's what he's called me to do. And I will obey. I just ask you guys to think about it and to do the same. However that is for you, I pray for you guys that you can do that. Because we all know what our world is like right now. And it needs more Jesus. Amen? So, it's kind of short, but I hope you got every ounce of go get them that I had for you. So I'm going to invite the second part of the worship team, to come up. And I'm going to pray, and then we have a song for you to end. So, thank you, and would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the sunshine. Lord, we thank you for waking each and every one of us up this morning to serve you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would go with us into the big bad world, Lord, and that we would seek the lost for you, that we would be your hands and feet and do it with gladness. Lord, we thank you so much for all of your blessings upon each and every one of us. And in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.